And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52 from deep within. The Matrix. The computer-generated fantasy world that people live in, and it's drawing ever, ever near. I just recorded next week's Watchmen broadcast. And there's an article here that it just came in today. I think this will show up on Drudge Report. And by the way, good to have everybody listening in today, watching from around the world. Those of you listening out on KBTR, Watchmen FM, we appreciate you joining in. The email address, if you'd like to send any comment, PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. I've got a couple things I'm going to deal with today. we are going to talk about Ebola. Maybe not in a way that some of you have been seeing or viewing things online about Ebola. Am I worried about this thing? Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. There is something in God's Word about this and why. I'll wait. I don't want to say too much now because I'm going to trip over myself, and I don't want to do that. There's something in God's Word that we're going to look at. And you know me. If it's in the Bible, it's real. If it's not in the Bible, there's no way in the world, okay? If it's not in the Bible, it doesn't exist. As far as conspiracy theories and things concerned, if it's not in the Bible, it doesn't exist. But anyway, we're going to talk about Ebola. We're going to talk about some Hebrew roots stuff. A guy sent me an email today. He has his child in a homeschool environment, and the curriculum that he's using, you got to see this, okay? And it's going to dovetail in with something I had planned already for today, dealing with Hebrew roots, Jewish. Here's another word for Hebrew roots movement. The Jewish fables movement. That's what you can call it. This is the Jewish fables movement, and that's what it is. And you'll see that here in a little bit. Romans chapter 1 is just all over this thing, and you'll understand what I mean when we get there. But this news article showed up on Drudge Report today. I just recorded part 2 of the Watchmen video broadcast. We're back into the secret of the seal, and I'm dealing with the idea of e pluribus unum, everybody becoming one, and I'm dealing with the singularity. And I actually identify why Ray Kurzweil used that name, singularity. Why did he call it by that name? And he borrowed it from astrophysics. Astrophysics, the study of the laws of gravity and stars and the universe, astrophysics is where you'll get the Big Bang. Did you know that the Big Bang theory did not come from scientific research or scientific study? When I say scientific research, I'm talking about microscopes, telescopes, test tubes, slide rules, computer models, Einstein or somebody else drawing out massively huge equations up on a chalkboard. That is not where the Big Bang Theory originated. The idea came from another source. And I don't want to give too much away today, but I will tell you that it came, its primary source, Jewish fables. And you'll see that. This Sunday, I just recorded it today. Lindsay is feverishly working on it right now to get it edited, rendered, fit for upload so you can download it and watch it. Sermon audio, YouTube, download it to your favorite portable device, your iPhone, your iPad, your Android, anything you want. You can get the Sermon Audio app, and that app, I believe, will give you ability to download any of the sermons that we post online. Give myself just a little bit more volume here. There we go. That way, when I get really loud, you guys have to turn your speaker down. But anyway, And dealing with the idea, there are two parts to this concept of the singularity. One of them involves building a computer, a robot, or some sort of artificial intelligence system whose mental capacity equates to and then exceeds that of the brain functions of mankind. We are building a device that will be smarter than human beings, more intelligent than human beings. It will have access to all of the known information from the entire span of human history. Everything that is known right now, this machine will have access to all of that knowledge. And remember, and that includes the Facebook and Google database. This machine will have access to that. Knowledge is power. Remember that. So essentially what we're making as a species is a god. That's what we're making. We're making a god in our image. Ray Kurzweil was asked about whether he believed in God or did God exist. And his answer was, does God exist? He said, well, I would say not yet. So you hang on to this. And this is why this article grabbed my attention. This is from VanityFair.com. A machine tasked with getting rid of spam. You know what spam is, don't you? Spiced ham. I love it. I love spam. It's amazing. You take spam out of the can. It's canned spiced ham is what it is. Slice it. Put it in a skillet. Get it good and crispy. Drop in a couple of eggs. Cook them to your desire. And eat those things. Man, that's good. But spam is unwarranted or unasked for emails. Companies will send you spam. They will spam your inbox. They'll send you unwanted advertisement emails. And so here is a man by the name of Elon Musk of SpaceX CEO said he was worried that people didn't understand how fast artificial intelligence was progressing. And expressed his concern that in a worst-case scenario, a super intelligent machine might decide to destroy human life. Now, that's the movies that I've seen. I've seen iRobot. I've seen the Terminator series. I've seen 2001 A Space Odyssey, the HAL 9000 computer system. Decided to kill the two astronauts that were on, but actually the three astronauts that were on board. Musk was speaking at to Walter Isaacson, the president and CEO of the Aspen Institute, on stage at Vanity Fair's new establishment summit in San Francisco. Musk, uncharacteristically wearing a suit, detailed his fears after teasing the announcement of Tesla's secretive project called the D. He said, I don't think anyone realizes how quickly artificial intelligence is advancing, particularly if the machine is involved in recursive self-improvement. And its utility function is something that's detrimental to humanity. Then it will have a very bad effect, said Musk. If its function is just something like getting rid of email spam, and it determines the best way of getting rid of spam is by getting rid of humans. Musk trailed off as the crowd laughed. Isaacson asked Musk if this well-publicized desire to retire on Mars, part of the inspiration behind Musk's spacecraft company, SpaceX, could help him outrun the evil machines. He said, no, more than likely than not that if there's some apocalypse scenario, it may follow people from Earth, said Musk. Early at the summit, SpaceX President Gwynne Shotwell described the development of reusable transport systems that will take people to Mars as one of the company's main goals. If you can't reuse them, you have to build them from scratch on Mars, or you won't get to come back, Shotwell said earlier on Wednesday. Do you think maybe you read too much science fiction? Isaacson asked Musk. He said, yes, that's possible. Probably, he said. In response to a later question about virtual reality, Musk questions whether or not the summit itself might be a simulation. You never know. This episode of Pastor Mike Online just might very well be a very cleverly crafted computer program. You just never know if you're crazy or something like that. But if you're saying you're going, oh no, that's Mike Hoggard. I gotta say this. there's conspiracy fact. You get it from the Bible. There's conspiracy theories. They come from all sorts of places. And then there is just some of the dumbest things I have ever seen anywhere. A guy put a page up. I don't know if it's still around. On the internet about, I'm going to say probably 2011. Just guessing. It's been about 2 or 3 years, something like that. Whereby he posited this theory that the character known as Mike Hoggard was not real, not a real person. And that he theorized that Mike Hoggard was in fact a very clever hologram computer simulated virtual reality program and not a real person. That the government or some shadow government designed a guy that looks like me with my voice, my sense of humor, and my willingness to talk about things that are going on in this world, that the government programmed a computer to simulate me and make it look real. That all of the Watchmen broadcasts were, in fact, nothing more than a very clever hologram from the government. I'm not making this up. And his evidence was he caught it. I caught him red-handed. His evidence was at the end of the Watchmen broadcast, this Mike Hoggard person, who we're not sure if he's real or not, would wave like this. Okay? Like that. Just wave it. Now, I want you to notice that as I'm waving my hand, the outline of my fingers becomes blurred. I want you to notice that. When I record the Watchmen video broadcast and the the Pure Bible Study, and Pastor Mike Online, all of this out here is real. Okay, it's real. When I record a Pure Bible Study or the Watchmen broadcast, I'm not sitting in that little studio. I am sitting in a studio, but I'm not sitting in what you see behind me. I'm sitting at a desk. The desk is real. The books there in my Bible, that's all real. My head and my torso, that's real. But what's behind me, and some of you have seen this, it's a green wall. And that's what weathermen use. That's what Hollywood film producers and TV shows are now using. They're using either a green or a blue screen. They use a green screen when the characters are going to be wearing blue. And if the characters are going to be wearing green, then they use a blue wall. They don't use red because there's too much red in human skin. And basically, the computer program removes everything in the shot that's green. and replaces it with an empty void. And then you're able to put in the background in the computer anything you want to. Now, I will say that the background behind Pastor Mike or Mike Hoggard, who, if he's real or not, the background is computer generated. I get these little backgrounds. The first one I ever used was free. And then I decided to kind of fork over a few bucks. I've never paid more than $15 for any of these high definition computer back. In fact, what you're seeing on both sides of me, like right here, that's all just computer animation is what it is. It's all it is. Cheap stuff. I ain't going to build a $1 million studio. It'd be a waste of money. Okay. I can buy a whole set for 15 bucks. It's no big deal. But what he was seeing was as the outline of my fingers was blurred, that was allowing some of the green to bleed through. And the computer wasn't able to take that out of the shot. And so his idea was, he figured it out. He figured out that Pastor Mike was really not a real person. He was a computer animated simulation, a hologram. And the government was using the things that Pastor Mike was talking about, even though they were true. The government was using them to deceive and lull everybody into following the New World Order plan of the government. Believe it or not, that's what a guy came up with. I'm real. This is me. It's me. All right. I don't know that the government would ever come up with a guy as dumb as me. All right. Or whatever. I don't think they would. So anyway, but we are going to build the computer God that will have the ability to kill people. You don't believe that? Read Revelation 13 and ask yourself what the image of the beast that was given life has the power to do. I remember doing a topic on a Watchman broadcast years ago, whereby these computer scientists were working on artificial intelligence, and at the behest of the Defense Projects Agency, the Defense Department, they were training computers to lie to human beings. They were training computers to purposely deceive humans. That's going to be dangerous. That's going to kill people. I promise you. It's going to happen. And you will see the connection between advanced technology, the singularity, and Jewish fables. You'll see the connection. You'll see the similarity coming out this Sunday. We had a couple that came and visited us a few weekends ago, Chris and Ashley, and they live in the Stunned Diego area of Southern California, and they wanted to get married. And so they came to Bethel Church, and I married them. I joined them together in holy wedlock. And we had just a good weekend, a good visit with them. And anyway, they were there showing me something about the former pastor in Stunned Diego. I think he's in Stunned Diego, somewhere around in there. And what he was teaching. They said, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this. And they pulled up on his little phone. He pulled up this video and he said, you got to watch this. And he said, I want to see your reaction. And this pastor, this guy starts talking about it. What is his name? Okay. His name is Ray. Ray Bentley is the pastor's name. And this the full length of this video is on YouTube. I don't remember how to find it, but it is on YouTube. And if I remember it, I might post it somewhere where you can find it. But just type in Ray Bentley and the signs in the heaven. And they were showing me this, and I was just, oh, he did not say that. And they said, oh, yeah, he said it. He said it. And I told them, I said, send me a link to that video because I want to talk about that. And I had it, I've had it for a little while and have been going to talk about it. I went through the video today after I recorded the Watchman broadcast. And I've got about four video clips that I'm going to show you. I've broke it up in pieces. It's about a 48, 50 minute, kind of video. But I've taken significant segments of this video out of this so you can understand what he's saying and what he's getting at. Let me preface what this video is about by dealing with a couple of subjects. The first, we'll talk about Jewish fables here in a little bit. And I want you to have your Bible handy. I want you, or a notebook or some kind. And I want you to write down some verses that absolutely you need to understand this, because Jewish mysticism, Jewish fables, Jewish mystic witchcraft is making massive inroads into what used to be Christianity. There is a mashing together. Just like Rick Warren taking Islam and Christianity and mashing them together at high speeds, it's the only way you'll get them to go together. These Jewish fable rabbis are convincing men all over this world to meld Jewish fables from Jewish rabbis in with Christian thought. The same way that Jewish rabbis and Jewish leaders all the way back from the time of Moses mixed Canaanite, Sumerian, Babylonian, and Egyptian mystery religions and concepts into their understanding of the Mosaic Law. And God warned them, don't serve Baal and Ashtaroth. Don't serve them. Don't bow to them. Don't have anything to do with them. If you do, I'll kill you. I'll throw you out of the land. I will put curses on you. God said in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26. You might have those places ready too in your Bible. Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, God told the Israelites, if you don't hold on to my statutes and my judgments and my laws, if you cast them behind you and you don't do all of them, I'm going to do some bad stuff in Israel. One of the things that God said that he was going to do had to do with a virus, or I think it was. And we'll look at that probably a little bit later on. But God told the Israelites, don't worship Baal and Ashtaroth. Don't do it. And think of this concept. Baal is the Lord. He is the Antichrist. He's the beast. And he was worshipped. Get ready. Are you ready? He was worshipped as a calf or an ox, a bull of some kind. That's how he was. That was his image. Osiris, same image, carrying the sun, the solar disk, between his two horns. God said, don't do that. Don't worship that. And then Ashtaroth is Isis, the fertility goddess. It seems like her main function is to prostitute Osiris and converge with him. So they come together, and then there is this new thing released on the earth called Horus, which is a son of the gods. And God told Israelite, don't worship that. We talked about Jim Staley here a few weeks ago. And I mentioned him again in the Watchman broadcast. And this idea that he's trying to convince people he doesn't worship the Zohar, the Kabbalah. He doesn't follow that, doesn't believe in it. And yet he puts their main symbol up there, the Sephiroth, the Tree of Life, with Baal on one side and Asheroth on the other. Oh, no, it's not called that. It's called the male and female aspects of God. It's the transgendered God, or the duo-gendered God, the androgynous God. Andro means man, gynos means woman. The androgynous God that they all know God is. Male on one side, female on the other. Staley, and then the one in the middle would be their son, Yahushua. And Staley's trying to convince you that these Jewish Kabbalist mystic pagan rabbis who hated God, this was their concept of the Trinity. And Staley said, I don't think that that's far wrong. I don't think that they're that far off. In other words, he thought that they were really close to his idea of it, not the Bible's. And he was teaching that. Baal, and it basically is essentially this pillar is Baal and this one's Asheroth. And when they join together, the glory's released, the Shekinah. And you have this new Adam Kadmon. You have this new creature that comes out as a result of it. And Staley's telling, you should be that middle pillar. It's just blasphemy is what it is. But he's following the Jewish fables. It's Staley's doing it. WorldNet Daily is following after. They're following after law keeping. They feature Richard Reeves as one of their commentators. He did a video the other day. And basically, it was, the title had something to do with not all Christians go to heaven. And it was just this teaching about how if you don't follow the law, you're not saved. You're not really a Christian the way God and Richard Reeves is a Day Adventist. Guess which law you're supposed to be keeping in his mind? The fourth commandment, where you worship the Sabbath day. And that's what they do. They worship the day. They worship the creation, not the creator. But they're telling everybody, go back under the law, get back under the ten, get back under the divine ten emanations, and they will rule over you, and then you'll truly know who Yahweh is, or Yahuwah, or Yahushua, or whoever it is. You'll truly know the truth about this. And here's what your Bible, now don't get me wrong. Whenever I talk bad about the Jews, about Israel, you need to understand what I really believe about Israel, about the 12 tribes. I believe God's going to save a remnant out of those 12 tribes. I absolutely believe that. From the tribe of Asher, from the tribe of Gad, from Naphtali, from Issachar, from Judah, from Levi, from Joseph, from Manasseh. God's going to save a remnant from each one of those tribes, and it's a literal remnant. Are they enemies of the cross? Absolutely. But you're supposed to pray for your enemies. Pray for Israel. Pray that they'll be saved, and there will be some that will. But let me show you what the New Testament, how it described the Jews of Christ's day and of Paul's day. I mentioned this the other day, Philippians 3:2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. The entire book of Galatians was written to these churches up in Gaul because Jews secretly came in amongst them and was spreading the doctrine that it's Christ plus law keeping. And Paul said, that's a curse. It's a false gospel. Whoever teaches this, let them be accursed. They're bewitching you. They're teaching you about observing days and months and times and years or something like that. They're telling you there's magic power in the feast. Jim Staley says, I absolutely believe that there is some spirit that is invoked when you worship or regard these Jewish feasts. And Paul said, watch out for them. Watch out for them. They're dangerous. They're deadly. They're trying to get you back under the dominion and the curse of the law, which eventually will be the dominion and curse of the Antichrist in the last days. Why is that? Because they're putting you under the demands of the law, which says keep every law, and if you don't, I'm going to set a wicked ruler over you. He's going to have a fierce countenance. It's going to be a people of fierce countenance. And they're going to rule over you. And you won't understand their language. They'll be speaking in tongues. And you'll be going, oh, praise God, they speak tongues like us. Titus chapter 1, verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. And we're seeing Christianity flooded with Jewish fables that are turning people from the truth of the Word of God. That little song that I played at the beginning of the broadcast, God said it, I believe it, and that's it. You can't believe part of the Bible and then not believe part of the Bible. You've got to believe the whole thing. I love that song. But these Jewish fables and the Hebrew Roots movement, I believe, originated with Jewish rabbis who hate the cross. They hate it. They hate Jesus. They hated Paul. They hate the gospel. They are enemies of the gospel. And they are going to do whatever it takes to make sure that every Christian church in the world stops preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ, including subversion. And that's what they're doing. They're subverting whole households. How many people do you know that are caught up in some form of the Hebrew Roots movement? How many people do you know? How many people do you see on Facebook as you're scrolling through the numerous posts on Facebook? Are they talking about Yeshua and Yahuwah, and the Ruach? And they're using all these Hebrew words, and you're going, I don't know what that means. And they write the Yod Hey Vah Hey in this Paleo-Hebraic script. And every time they're going to write God's name, they'll use that script instead of just writing it out. That's Jewish tradition. Jewish mysticism, Jewish superstition is what it is. God never said that you could not use nor take God's name. He just said you couldn't do it in vain. But you see these people. Some of you have written me and said you used to be in that and something didn't sound right. It just didn't ring right. A lady wrote me, and I appreciate the email. I think I wrote her back and said thank you. It's a great testimony. She said that she sat under Shepherd's Chapel, Arnold Murray. And she said, sitting listening to him reel off all these theories about what the Bible really said, telling us that we had to honor the feast days and so on. And here's Arnold Murray, who's now dead. And I will say that he's gone on to be with his Lord. Think about it. Arnold Murray, you only had to listen to him one time to hear that and to know that he did not believe that the Word of God translated was true. And just about every doctrine that comes from the pure Word of God, the King James Bible, was wrong according to him, because what it really said in the Hebrew and the Greek was this. It didn't take you long. And she said she would sit and listen to him reel off all this stuff that she'd never heard before based upon his private translation of the Bible. And she said, when I would just go sit down and read my Bible, I would scratch my head and I'd be going, it's not here. I don't see that here. It's not here. And Arnold Murray would say, yeah, that's right. It's not there. Yeah, they translated it wrong. 54 men spending 7 years in a circular fashion basing their translation upon the former translations plus the Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. They got it all wrong. Arnold Murray got it right. So did Joe Smith. That's what the Mormons say. I got to turn my heating pad back on. It's one of those days. Oh, hang on. My heating pads have an automatic shutoff. And my wife, she gets it. She understands why. Because I'll forget to shut them off. Anyway, Arnold Murray, Joseph Smith, Mormon doctrine will tell you, we use the King James Bible in so much as it's translated correctly. 54 men over 7 years' time made mistakes in the Bible. However, Joseph Smith, by himself, with a special set of glasses, looking upon golden plates that no one has ever seen before, reading characters on the plates, revised hieroglyphics that no one has ever seen before in the history of the universe, Joseph Smith translated every word into the Book of Mormon absolutely spotless, perfect. But 54 men working for 7 years on the King James Bible got it wrong. That's what they want you to believe. But even Arnold Murray was into the following the feast and doing the feast and practicing the feast. You must do the feast and feast this and feast that. And there's magic in the feast days. Got to do the feast. Don't give heed to these Jewish fables. They turn people from the truth. Here's what Jesus said to his own people, to the Pharisees and the scribes that were around him. Matthew 15:6. And honor not his father and mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your what? By your tradition. You made the commandment of God null and void by what? By your tradition. Those books, the Mishnah, and I can't think of some of these other books that the rabbis wrote over the time frame between the time they got the law and Jesus came around and then after that, the Zohar. They write all these commentaries on the law and then commentaries on the commentaries of the law, and they're full of Jewish traditions. And Jesus told them, because you added to the Word of God with your traditional books, you've made the Word of God, you made the commandments of God of no effect whatsoever. He says in Matthew 15:3, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Mark 7:8, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. And Jesus knew what that tradition was. He knew that their ideologies was laden secretly with Baal and Ashtaroth worship. That's what he knew was in there. It was in their tradition. The Babylonian Talmud, loaded with that stuff. And he knew it. Galatians chapter 4, when Paul is describing the difference between the seed of Sarah and the seed of Hagar. Hagar was the slave woman. She was in bondage. And her child born was in bondage. And Sarah was the free woman. And her child was born free. And just as Hagar and Ishmael persecuted Sarah and Isaac, Paul said that's how it is now. He said, Galatians 4:29, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. And any of you that have run in or had a run in or some sort of confrontation with those that are in the Hebrew Roots movement who are demanding of you that you show your salvation by keeping feasts and keeping Torah and doing everything that the Jews do and believing it the way the Jews believed it and the Hebrews and everything like that, they demand of you that you do that. And when you won't fall under their dominion, they call you, you're not saved, you're not a real believer, They boast. You know as well as I do, they boast about what they do. And that is the very thing that the Apostle Paul said about why we're not saved by works. Because if you do one thing that merits God's grace in your life, you'll brag about it. You'll boast about it. Malcolm was with me Saturday when Caleb was playing his football game. And I mean, he was on fire. He was on fire, man. I mean, he was, they had him on defense. At one point, he grabbed a guy with a ball, picked him up, lobbed him down on the ground. And I'm going, yeah, that's my kid. Ha, that's my kid. That's my kid. He returns a kickoff return for 15 yards. And I'm going, that's my kid. That's mine. When we have works, we boast. And so God removed works from grace. But the Hebrew roots people are all about boasting and then persecuting you because you know what, you actually know what grace is and faith is. You actually know what it is. And they've had it skewed by Jewish tradition. At the core of every Hebrew roots doctrine, the core of it is the Zohar, Jewish mysticism. Now, I'm going to show you this video. This was their former pastor, Ray Bentley, who's been associated with Phil Wickham. His dad is the worship leader at Maranatha, affiliated with Joel Osteen. I'm not done setting this up yet. Here is the email. Aaron sent this to me just today. And I was already putting together these little video clips. He said, hey, Pastor Mike, looking forward to the PMO show today. My wife homeschools our children and uses the K-12 system for curriculum. I'm not familiar with that. And he said, check out this history lesson from my oldest son was given to complete yesterday. Let me see if I can. Yeah, here it is. Let me do this. Here's the page that he sent me. He said the lesson revolved around Abraham, which was kind of cool. But look at this assignment they gave him. It not only uses the Kabbalistic numerical and hidden meaning explanations for the letters. It doesn't even tell you what the letters are. For example, the first is Aleph, but it doesn't say that. Let me pull this up here. He's speaking of this right here. The first is Aleph. It only says that it represents the number one and that it means an ox or a bull. Now, when I was in school, even in college, world history class, we never learned this stuff. I only knew it from the time listening to Jim Staley's garbage and the research I did on my own a year or so back. And he says, why are they teaching this? He said, they have not taught any other lesson like this for the Egyptians or the Mayans and so on. I'll tell you why. It's because, what happened here? What happened to my face? Hang on. I'm using a different camera today. Hang on. Let's do this. Now watch this. Watch it. Watch me magically. Oh, I won't say magic. Watch me appear. Ooh, isn't that cool? Anyway, he sent me this, and this was his assignment. Hebrew is the language of the Hebrew Bible in the state of Israel, which is where Canaan was located in the time of Abraham. Learn to write some of this language by tracing over the Hebrew letters, then try writing some for yourself. And it's not just giving you the Hebrew letters. It's telling you that these Hebrew letters mean something, and that Aleph means a bull. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What Bible verse is that? What Bible verse tells you that the Aleph letter in the Hebrew Aleph Beth means bull? Where is that? If you looked in Psalm 119, in fact, turn there. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 119. I'm going to show you something. Psalm 119, in case you didn't know this, the verses are divided, every eight verses, by 22. They're 22 Hebrew letters. And from verses 1 to 8 in your King James Bible, you'll see the word Aleph. And as you scan through verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I want you to circle in those verses the number of times you find the word bull in Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. I'll give you 2.8 seconds to do that. Okay, stop. There are no, well, I'll say it properly, there is no bull in Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Nowhere in your Bible does it tell you that the Hebrew letters, number one, have a secret sign behind them of like a bull, or back over to the worksheet here. The number two means a house or a tent. Number three is a camel. Number four is a door. Number five is a window. Blah, 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 blah. But you will not find that in your Bible. So why do you believe that? Well, you know, the Hebrews, they always taught that. Not in the Bible, they didn't. That was not part of the revelation that God gave them anywhere in the Old Testament. No prophet ever spoke of this. Jesus never spoke of it. Paul never said anything. John never revealed it. It's a setup. Here Jesus is referring to himself in the book of Revelation as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. But then 119 Ministries and others, Jim Staley and others, have latched onto this. And they said, now, we know that originally the New Testament was originally written in Hebrew, even though there's no copies anywhere. Originally, it would have been written in Hebrew. It would have been. And when Jesus said, I am the Alpha Omega, he would have been saying in the original Hebrew, I am the Aleph Tav. But he never said that. And you don't have any evidence. He's not in the Bible anywhere. And then, of course, then these people say, yeah, see, that's the conspiracy, man. They ruined the Bible. They took it out. Yeah. How do you know? Well, you know, it's all over the Internet. And this is my point. They're falling for Jewish fables, Jewish mysticism, and it's a setup. The Aleph of the Hebrew alphabet does not mean anything other than the letter A. Period. It's part of the language of the Old Testament. I'll give them that. But to say, and here's what they do. They say that you take any Hebrew word from the Hebrew Old Testament, you take the individual letters and you break it down to their meaning, and then you have this really cool secret meaning in all of these Hebrew words that no one would know if you didn't have the key, which key is not in the Bible. You would never know this unless you knew the secret key of all the Hebrew letters, and then it spells out this blah, blah, blah. And then we get into gematria. That you can take the numerical form of each letter and add it up, and every word has its own sum, and you find secret wisdom this way. Let me tell you what I found out about that. Let me tell you how misleading this is and what a setup it is. There's a guy, somebody sent me this video, I watched it. This guy is teaching, he's a Kabbalist. He's teaching a class on, I don't know if he is a Kabbalist. He's teaching, I don't know what class he was teaching. But he's trying to get some new wind of doctrine out there. And he starts writing all these Hebrew words up on the whiteboard. And he writes the Hebrew word for Messiah. And then he writes the Hebrew word for serpent, which is Nahash. We looked at that the other day. He added up the numbers for the Hebrew word Messiah, and he added up the numerical value of the Hebrew word Nechash. They're the same number. And everybody's going, oh, a revelation. You mean Christ is the serpent? That's what you get into. Where is that in your Bible anywhere? When did we stop believing the Bible and start believing Jewish fables and Jewish traditions. Because we were warned that when we start doing that, they will turn us from the truth. And it's working right now. I'm going to go ahead and start showing you these clips. I don't know if we'll talk about Ebola Day or not. We'll see. I'm going to start showing you these clips. And to set it up, here is that pastor, Ray Bentley, who's had new revelations now about, get ready. He's got a new revelation now of what the Sphinx really is. You know what the Sphinx is? The Egyptian Sphinx. It is the head of a human with the body of a beast. What does that tell you? It is a hybrid, a cross between sons of God, daughters of men. That's what it is. The Sphinx represents the hybrid. If you go to the House of the Temple Lodge in Washington, D.C., guarding the doors of that lodge, which they're not really guarding it because I like walked right past them in broad daylight and they never stopped me. Worst guards in human history. But guarding the doors of the House of the Temple Lodge in Washington, D.C. were two Egyptian sphinxes, part human, part beast. And just so that you'll know what kind of abomination this is, at least 4 to 5 times that I counted in Scripture, God had to tell the Israelites, whatever you do, don't mate with an animal. Don't do it. Do not lie down with a beast. Don't do it. At least four or five times in the Bible, God had to tell them, don't do that with an animal. Do not mingle with an animal. Don't mingle your seed out in the field. Don't wear a coat of linen and a coat of woolen. Don't wear male clothes and female clothes. If you're a male, don't wear female clothes. If you're female, don't wear male clothes. God separates them. They're to be diverse. You're not to mingle them together. The sons of God were spiritual beasts. Think of what the dragon is. The daughters of men were human women. And the hybrid race, the giants, was part God with a little g and part man. Dagon was a half human, half fish. This is an abomination before Almighty God. God hates it. And then the idea that the Hebrew letter A is a bull, and that's a good thing. That's like is God. So I want you to see the setup that he does. Now, again, I've only taken clips out of this overall teaching. You can find it on YouTube. But you're going to see that what he's teaching you is, you thought that the Egyptians are the ones who came up with the Sphinx, the part human and part beast. You think the Egyptians came up with that. Ha ha ha! He's got a revelation now. You're wrong. Wasn't the Egyptians. It came down secretly from Seth, the son of Adam. How does he know? Josephus tells me so. He's not quite. You listen to what he says. He's going to teach you that a secret doctrine was passed down orally from Seth to Enos, all the way down to Enoch, all the way to Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. given to Shem. Shem passed it down to his lineage through Heber, and then Abraham knew it, and Isaac and Jacob. They all knew it. They all knew the real doctrine. You know what their doctrine was? And I'm going to address this in a minute. That the heavenly luminaries, the celestial objects up in the sky, that they told the real secret doctrine, the truth, before Moses ever came along. And the Egyptians got the Sphinx from the Israelites. I didn't just make that up. Let me pull this up here. Hope it works. I was kind of in a rush. This is Ray Bentley down in Stunned Diego, California. Listen to what he says. Be ready, because I may stop right here at any moment.
Volumes. Josephus then recorded many of the Jewish beliefs, customs that had been handed down for generations.
Stop right there. Did you hear what he said? Josephus recorded the Jewish customs, traditions. See, right there, everybody in that church ought to get up and say, stop. You cannot teach us Jewish traditions. We want to hear the word of God. But they don't. They let him get by with this nonsense. Back to what he said.
Thousands of years going back. And here is something fascinating that Josephus said. Josephus says that God told a story to Seth and to Enosh through the stars.
Set up.
That he gave to them a story and told them a story through the stars. Essentially then, now I'm going to paraphrase this. After Adam and Eve sinned and fell in the garden, they didn't have the Bible until Moses came along, which is hundreds.
And apparently you don't either. I just had to throw that in there. Anyway, back to what he said. Listen to what he's setting up now. He's telling you that the stars told them a secret doctrine that nobody else knew. And since they didn't have the Bible, that was the only way they could get the truth, was from this secret message from these stars. Anyway, back to what he said.
Centuries of years later, how did Adam and Eve and all their descendants, what was their message of hope? Essentially, what we discover is that God apparently, our Father, our Daddy in heaven, told a story that was passed from Adam to Seth and Seth to Enosh and on down. He told him a story of redemption through 12 pictures in the sky. And those 12 pictures are called what? The Zodiac. Did you know that's the Greek word for it? Did you know that there is a Hebrew word for it that is more ancient than Zodiac? Because the Zodiac got twisted and perverted. The Hebrew word is Maseroth. Mazzaroth. And what's interesting is there were 12 pictures, not 10, not 9, not 14, not 13. There were exactly 12 pictures that God told a story of redemption through the heavens. And it was a picture that went in a circle of volumes. Josephus then recorded many of the Jewish beliefs, customs that had been handed down for generations and thousands of years going back. And here is something fascinating that Josephus said. Josephus says that God told a story to Seth.
All right, it repeated itself, but let me cover what he's talking about so far. He's trying to tell you that God encoded, that's what he said, that God encoded, and he got this not from the Bible. He got it from Josephus. He was not an apostle. He was not a prophet. He was not one of the holy men of God who was speaking as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He was a historian. And he's telling you that he collected all these Jewish myths and fables and traditions, and that God whispered this secret doctrine to Seth and told him that his plan was up in the stars, and these 12 beasts, the word zodiac means circle of beasts, zoa, beast. And he said that the Hebrew word for zodiac is Maseroth. I disagree with him, because zodiac means a circle of beasts. So here's this circle of extraterrestrial beasts that they are encoded with a secret doctrine. Now I'm going to ask you this question. When you go outside at night and you look up there, did you ever really see a virgin up there? When you're looking at the stars, did you ever look up there and say, oh, that looks like a virgin? How in the world would you know? Did you ever look up and say, oh, there's a bull right there, and that looks like a bear, and that looks like someone pouring water out, and that looks like a locust, a Sagittarius, half human, half beast. Yeah, and that looks like a, that looks, yeah. Have you ever done that? No one in recorded history has ever done that. You cannot go out there and look up at those stars and see a bear, a bull, a virgin, someone pouring water out of a pot. You cannot see that. He mentions throughout the course of this E.W. Bullinger's book, The Witness of the Stars. I've read through that book, not read the whole thing. I've read through that book, and I don't buy it. I don't believe it one piece of it. There is no teaching in your Bible about a symbolism of the gospel by way of the patterns of a virgin, a bull, a bear, this and that and the other. I tell you what you will find. In Psalm 22, when Jesus is on the cross, here's what you will find. Verse 12, many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. He's referring to these fourth dimensional, these spiritual realm beasts. Their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. There's Leo right there. Did you ever look up at the stars and see a lion? That looks like a lion. There's his tail and there's his mane there. And there's his fur. There's his teeth and his two. You've never done that. It doesn't exist. I am poured out like water. That's Aquarius. The dog store, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked enclosed me, they pierced my hands and feet. I can't remember what that was in. Then he's talking about the unicorn down here in verse 21. Sagittarius. These were beasts that were circled around Christ when he was dying on the cross. These were not praising him. They were gaping with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. You cannot look at the arrangements of the stars and find pictures there and find words in those pictures. You cannot do that. There is not a testimony of Jesus Christ in what man has made symbols out of in the stars. That doesn't exist. Now, I'm going to read to you Psalm 19, because you're going to say, yeah, Psalm 19 says there is. No, it doesn't. Not the way they tell you. Psalm 19 does not tell you to look for these animal creatures in the stars, because I shaped them exactly like that. And you know that it's not there. Had it not been for you reading some book on astrology or the zodiac itself or listening to Ray Bentley, you would never have gone outside and looked up and said, boy, that sure looks like a virgin to me. Never would have happened. Here's what Psalm 19 says. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. That means the firmament shows that God made it. You know what the firmament is? It's a layer in the upper atmosphere that separates this world from the heavens. It's what all the clouds ride on. And if you say, well, you know, that's not really firm, it's just air. Do you realize how much water is in those clouds and how heavy that is? And those clouds just sit right on top of that firmament. God made it. And then it says, day unto day uttereth speech. And it does. Especially when you know that in the book of Lamentations, God's mercies and his goodness is new every day. The rising of the sun, the sun shining in his strength. And in fact, he tells you what that means down here. He says, verse 4, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. That's Christ. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. When he's rising up, the bridegroom coming out of his chamber. That's what that's a picture of. The Bible will tell you these things. It does not tell you that there's a bull and a lion and a virgin and a gal pouring water out, and this is really the secret doctrine. It doesn't tell you that. In fact, let me show you from the Bible the heavens declaring the glory of God. It's actually in your Bible. You want to know where? In my Bible, it is on, let's see here if I can pull it over real quick. Come on, here we go. In my Bible, it is on page 70 of the New Testament. Luke chapter 2. Now remember, the heavens declare the glory of God. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words... not their symbols. Even if you could find a group of stars that were designed very, very similar to the shape of a bull, how in the world would you know what that bull is saying? You have no idea whatsoever. And see, here's his point. You say, well, you know, we can read it in the Bible. Here, no, that's not his point. His point was that God delivered a secret doctrine to Seth, who passed it down to his lineage, that these zodiac signs were bulls and lions and rams and water pourers and snakes, that these symbols in the stars carried the plan of redemption, and that they could see it up there when they looked up there, and it's a lie. That is a lie. So here's what Psalm 19 really means. The heavens declare the glory of God. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. There's your stars right there. There's the heavenly hosts. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, I am a bull, and standing next to me is a lion, and over there is a virgin, and then standing over there is this lady pouring out water. No, he didn't say that. He said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This was no secret. This was no hidden mystery in the shapes and the outlines of star creatures. The angel is speaking words and saying outright, there is a Savior born in Bethlehem. He is wrapped in swaddling clothes. And he is Christ the Lord. It's plain and simple. Their words went out of their mouth. That's what angels are. They're messengers. And then, back in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. Go look at verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God. There it is right there. The heavens declare the glory of God. Here they are right here at Jesus' birth. The stars and the heavens, the hosts of heaven, are declaring glory to God and peace and goodwill toward men. Angels don't just sit there in silence and look like statues and they say, what am I? Huh? What am I? What do I look like? What do I look like? What does it look like I'm saying, huh? They don't do that. This guy made this stuff up. Now, here's what he's going to say. I think if I remember right, here's what he's going to say next. He's going to teach you that Enos knew this, and Seth knew this, and Noah knew it, and all of the patriarchs knew it. They knew that that the first month, the first one, started with Virgo, the woman. And the 12th one ended with, the 12th one was a lion. So here's what he's going to do. He's going to try to convince you that the Sphinx, the front of a woman and the body of a lion, is teaching you the secret doctrine to look to the zodiac. And you'll get the secret message, because they're fused together like in a circle. The head of the woman and the tail of a lion joined together. And that's really the good secret teaching of God. That's what he wants you to know. Listen to what he said.
Anyway, do you know what the Sphinx is? Which is, oh, there it is. That's the Sphinx in Egypt. Here we're talking about Egypt. Do you know that that is the head and torso of a woman, with behind her the body of a lion? Do you know it's called the riddle of the Sphinx, the mystery of the Sphinx? Books have been written about the Sphinx. What is it? What does it mean? What does it reveal about the past? Movies have been done about it and so forth. But what we now know is that it was not a riddle. It was not a mystery. That in fact, it was a key code how to read the signs of the heavens. Because if you have a story that is in 12 pictures in the sky and centuries go by, at some point you have to say, well, where does the story begin? Where's chapter 1 and where's chapter 12? And we believe that it was during the time that the Jewish children of Israel, the Hebrews, were among the Egyptians. They passed on to them the information that went all the way back to Adam and to Seth and to Enosh, and told them how to read the signs of the 12 pictures in the sky. And so the Egyptians, wanting to perpetuate a key code so that you know, future generations would always know where the story begins and where it ends. So what is it? What is it telling us? It tells us that in the 12 pictures of the sky, the chapter 1 is Virgo, the woman, which is a virgin. And chapter 12 is Leo, the lion, the 12th sign. So that it begins with Virgo. Imagine this. This is before Moses wrote Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. For centuries, literally, men could look up from any continent on the earth, look up into the sky, and through the signs of in the heavens, of the sun and the moon and the stars, and reading the pictures in the heavens, they could say there's a story of redemption that begins with a virgin and ends with a lion.
Man's lying through his teeth. Lying through his teeth. Did you hear what he said? He said that the virgin in the front, the lion in the back, that's chapter 1, and that leads you to chapter 12. And the Egyptians had no clue what any of this was until the Hebrews showed up. And the Hebrews put their arms around the Egyptians and said, we have the true gospel. We have the true doctrine. Would you like to know what it is? Yeah, what is it? Yeah, it starts out with, look up there, see those dots up there? That's a woman. I don't see a woman. Well, just, it's a woman. But I don't see a woman. It's a virgin one. I don't see that either. What I mean, no, it's a woman. Just go along with it. Idiot.
And then he showed him the other 12, and he ends up with a lion. See, now that one up there, it's a lion. He said, I still don't see a lion. But it's a lion. You just got to go along with it. And what this is going to teach us that Jesus is going to come. He's going to be born of a virgin. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to rise again the third day, and he's going to be the Lion of Judah. See, it's just plain as day up there. Excuse me, plain as night. And the Egyptians fell for it. That's what he's trying to tell you. He's trying to... Do you see the setup here? He's trying to teach you that the imagery of the Sphinx, which is this pagan and wicked and Babylonian and Baphomet related as can be, he's trying to teach you that it's a good sign, that it actually came from the illuminated Jews who knew so much about God that they killed their own Messiah, and they didn't know, they didn't have a clue who he was. Are you kidding me? Are you trying to tell me that the Jews had this special sign all in the stars, and they had it for 4,000 years, and they still killed the Messiah? It's a setup, people. This guy, and there's probably countless others like him, that's setting people up to worship an image. And that's essentially what the Sphinx is. It's an idol. That's what it is. It's a setup trying to tell you that the real secret doctrine can be found in these stars. Look to the stars. The stars will tell you. The stars will tell you. These are beasts, people. Now watch this. Do you remember when Moses came down from Mount Sinai? You remember that? You remember how angry he was? And for what reason? The Israelites were down at the base of Mount Sinai. They'd thrown all their gold into a pot, and out jumped this calf. And they're worshiping the calf. You want to know what this guy's going to say? This guy's going to tell you that that calf they were worshiping was really God. You watch.
So again, where did the Egyptians get the worship of a golden calf? One of the 12 signs is Taurus the bull. Taurus the bull, originally, the Hebrew word...
Now, I'm going to stop right here. Remember. And he's going to reiterate this about the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, the letter Aleph. They say it's a bull. So they're worshiping really the true God, because all of the Hebrew roots people and all the Jewish Kabbalists associate the Aleph with God. But then they come along and tell you it's a bull. I don't remember at any time this guy saying the Israelites were disobedient to God in worshiping this golden... I don't remember him saying that. What he's actually trying to tell you is that the Jews didn't get the image of the calf from the Egyptians. The Egyptians got it from the Jews. It's another setup. People, let me go back to it.
Is an ox. The Bible likens God to the power of an ox. In the King James, it's even translated one place as unicorn, which they think is a mythical creature. In reality, the ox was probably a creature, an ancient creature, even beyond the ox that we have today, that's extinct today, that was really big and really strong and super powerful. And God said there is something in that ox that when I created its power, that reveals something of my power. So again, where did the Egyptians get the worship of a golden calf? One of the 12.
All right. Here again, they repeat itself. That's what Wirecast does. He's trying to set up the idea And he actually said, the Bible tells you that God is like an ox. No, it doesn't. I looked it up. God said that his strength can be compared to the strength of an ox or a unicorn. But you're not going to find God equating himself with the image of an ox. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. Here's what God warned Israel against when they went into Canaan land. They had just come out of Egypt. Here's what God warned them about concerning secret messages in the stars and looking to those stars as part of their religion. Deuteronomy 4:19, unless thou lift up thine eyes into heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. God warned them not to go following after the sun, the moon, and the stars. Don't be driven to worship them. And then he said, and serve them. Do you know what astrology is? Astrology is a religion in service to the stars. Because whatever the cow or the bull and the virgin and the water bearer and the unicorn, whatever they determine by their alignments and by their pictures, that's what you are going to do. You are serving whatever the stars is. You know this phrase, well, it's in the stars. That's what that concept is. That's what astrology is. And that's what this guy is teaching. He is teaching astrology. The idea that you serve what the stars tell you. And God said, don't do that. Each one of the zodiac figures represents a false god. And there's numerous of them, at least 12. And then he's talking about later on the differences and all the constellations and everything like that. Listen to what Deuteronomy 13 said. I just thought of this. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. You know what this guy's teaching? He's teaching signs and wonders in the stars. He's teaching you that the stars and those figures that he says exist in the stars, which do not exist. He's teaching you that those are signs and they are what? And you haven't seen it yet. Wait until he shows you how these stars lined up on a particular feast day. And God said, if a prophet or a dreamer of dream gives thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. This guy is telling these people, follow these gods. These gods, these heavenly celestial objects, these beasts, have the true story of redemption. And God gave it to the Jews gave it to the Egyptians ran with it. This is what he's telling you. He is teaching you to follow after these other gods. And he's doing it by way of teaching about signs and wonders. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew not, or they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. You know who I think that describes? I think it describes Israel. Now, it may be applied to many other nations, or in fact, all nations. But when Israel knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. They made idols. When that golden calf just shot up out of that pot of gold, You know what Aaron said? Here's our God. Let's have a feast to the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. He knew God, but glorified him not as God. So what did he do? Verse 23, he changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. This guy's telling you, follow after these gods. That's where the real story is. And I dare you to go out tonight and look up. By the way, I'm going to throw this in here, too. Somebody's asking me, we just had the second blood moon. Is that like, you think anything's going to happen? I dealt with this before. And I've read the Bible. And I don't know of any place in the Bible where God said there was going to be four consecutive lunar eclipses on feast days. God never said that. Yeah, but you know, he's talking about the moon turning to blood. Yes, but he also said that the sun would be darkened. That is a solar eclipse. That's when the moon blocks the light of the sun from the earth. A lunar eclipse is when the earth blocks the light from the sun reflecting on the moon. You can't have both at the same time. So what am I saying? I don't think the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2 or Acts chapter 2 or Isaiah 13 or Matthew 24, Revelation, I don't think that the fulfillment of that has anything to do with John Hagee's book. Or who wrote that other one? I don't think they have anything to do with their books. On sale now for $22.95. I think these guys are way off. I think they jumped after Jewish fables and Jewish myths and not after the scriptures. But they changed the glory, the Jews, and everybody else in history does this. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God to the corruptible image of man, flying things, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Four. False gospel right there. This guy is teaching it. You got to see this. This guy is going to try to tell you that God himself made a celestial image of a golden calf with the sun in his horns. I'm not kidding you. This guy is going to convince you or try to convince you that God himself came up with the image of the calf with the sun in his horns. Get ready.
All right, see the one on the top left? You have an ox there, and it's got that circle representing the sun between its horns. And then the one next to it, again. And the one right, and then in the middle. And the bottom left corner, you can see a artist's rendition of Moses coming down the mountain on Pentecost with the Ten Commandments. And the children of Israel, instead of worshiping God, are worshiping the image of God that is made into a graven image of gold, which is an ox with the horns and the sun between it. And then the bottom right is still the horns with the sun there, but that is Isis, another one of the Greek gods. And now I'm going to put in the date.
Watch of, this. Here
of
we go.
The Feast of Pentecost for 2011, which happens to be this year, June.
Get ready.
The sixth month, and happens to be day number 8.
Get ready.
Okay, this year, Pentecost falls on June the 8th, 2011.
Here we go.
Okay, then we're going to go over here to the search window.
Software,
and we're
going to
look,
the way,
where's the sun?
I think.
On Pentecost, this year in 2011, and it will move this around. Watch this. This year, on the Feast of Pentecost, worshipped by Jews around the world, on the 8th of June, the sun is directly smack dab in the middle of the horns of Taurus the bull. And then, think about this. 2,000 years ago, exactly on that same day, the church was praying in an upper room, waiting upon the Lord. And what's the Bible say? And then the Holy Spirit fell with power.
Doesn't say that.
Upon the church. And they began speaking in other languages. That's the symbol of it. The bull and the ox is the symbol of the power of God coming on the church. But if you didn't know the feast days, it wouldn't make any sense. All right, see you.
Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. He just told you that the sign of the Holy Ghost of God on Pentecost coming upon with power upon the people of God, that the sign of that was a bull with the solar deity between his horns. That's what he said. God drew that first. God is the one who made that. So the Jews had the original secret knowledge that they passed down to the Egyptians. And the Egyptians started making idols. But see, that's where it went bad. They started making idols with it. And they started worshiping it. People, if it's not in your Bible, don't believe it. You show me where the scriptures record that the sign of God coming down in power upon his people is a bull with the sun between his horns. Show me that. Show me in the scripture where you can look up to the heavenly luminaries and see images of a virgin. By the way, in this video, he also read Revelation chapter 12. The woman clothed with the sun. And he had, there's another thing on here, and I didn't include it in here. There was another thing on here where he lined up Virgo with the sun on some particular day. He said, looky here. See, it's Virgo. She's clothed with the sun. And that's Revelation. No, it's not. It's a setup. It's a lie. It's getting you to... I don't know that the devil is just going to show up to churches all across the land and say, okay, everybody, we got some other gods that we're going to worship. Everybody start falling down and kneel to them. I don't know that he can speak that plainly. What I do know is that the devil is more subtle than any beast of the field. I know that. I also know that all mystery religions in the world will use signs and symbols that have no words or very few words related to them. Like the zodiac sign, or the square and the compass, or the European image of a woman sitting on top of a bull. That's Europa, by the way. Europa, that's where they name Europe. Europa, this goddess, comes riding in on a bull. It's a woman sitting on a beast. There's your clue, Sherlock Holmes. And these symbols, like the triquetra. You'll never see an image of the triquetra with words explaining what the symbol means. Thomas Nelson, you got to turn a few pages in the Bible. You'll find now the tricatcher is an ancient symbol for the Godhead or the Trinity, signifying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And, you know, these three are one, and yet they're separate. And yet the Bible says that you cannot engrave the Godhead with art or man's device. You can't do it. There shouldn't be any symbol for the Trinity. Thomas Nelson gives you a symbol that they say it's for the Godhead, but it's not. It means something else. And here this guy, without getting his sermons and his ideas from the Bible, leading people astray, teaching them to go and showing them signs and wonders now in the heavens, and teaching them to go after these other gods up there, because I guarantee you, you start believing the idea that encoded in the layout of each star where there's supposedly these symbols, that encoded in that layout is the revealing of the gospel before the gospel was ever talked about. I guarantee you, if you fall for that one, they have just set you up for another teaching that's in those same stars. You've just been set up for it. I don't believe it. I did 1998, 1999. I started studying numbers in the Bible. I found out that Bollinger wrote a book on the witness of the stars, and I'm going, hey, cool, you know, maybe I could do something with this, you know, and maybe I could teach this. And I started reading it, and it just, there was just something about it that it just didn't sound right to me. And I just started thinking about it. God, what I didn't know was the Holy Ghost was pulling me away from it, saying, Mike, don't believe that. Mike, don't believe that. Don't believe that. It's not. Where's that in the scriptures? Mike, you've already established for your mind and your heart that if it's not in the Bible, you don't believe it. And you're not going to teach it. Mike, it's not in the Bible. And I had to ask myself, where is this stuff that Bollinger says? Where is that? Where is that in the Bible? There was even a video put out several years ago by, you know what, I'm not going to say, because I out of fairness, it's been so long ago, I don't remember what they said. But there's a video teaching put out years ago about Psalm 119, and it had this secret prophecy encoded into the alphabet letters that you find in Psalm 119. And if I mentioned the names, you'd go, oh, yeah, I know who those are. And I don't remember enough about it, so I'm not going to say anything. But I remember reading an article that they wrote about it. They had made this video, and I remember reading this article. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, boy, that's a... You know, the first eight verses of Psalm 119 supposedly have to do with the secret symbolic meaning of Aleph, which is a bull. And I'm reading Psalm 119 verses 1 through 8, and I'm going, boy, you just got to really stretch it to make it like it's in there, because it's not. There's no bull in Psalm 119 verses 1 through 8. You're not going to find anywhere in the Bible where the Bible ascribes letter meanings and tells you to break down the words into their secret letter symbols, and you'll get a greater truth than just by reading the King James Bible. That's what they want you to believe. Hebrew roots people and followers of the Zohar and all of these people who are telling you that these secret messages are in the Hebrew letters, what they're telling you is that you will never attain the real true knowledge that they have, because all you do is read the English King James Bible. And that is essentially what Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees. You shut up the kingdom of heaven to these people with your superstitions and your traditions and your false doctrines. You've shut up the doors of heaven to them. They're never going to believe what I said ever again, and it's on you. I love people. I love God's people. I love people that say they're a Christian. And I'm not telling you anything that at one time I was going to try to see if there really was a secret message in the stars, that the stars actually were proclaiming the gospel in the way of the zodiac. And I'm telling you, they're not. I looked into it. There's nothing there. You can't match it up with Scripture. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited, but forceful in how I say this. We are called as New Testament believers, who also believe the Old Testament. We are called to confirm our salvation by our belief in the Word of God, the revealed written Word of God. Plainly, what it says on the page, that's what we believe. And if you go around teaching people, and you do it with social media, you do it with YouTube videos, emails of other people teaching this stuff, you're trying to tell people that there's another secret doctrine that if they're just reading the King James Bible, they'll never get it. And if you're doing that, I promise you I'm going to do everything I can to undo that. Because what you're doing is wrong. What I want is for everybody to just believe what's written from Genesis to Revelation in this old book. That's what I want everybody. I want you to believe that. Let me read some emails here. This is from... let's see here. Sandra. Dear Pastor Mike, I'm listening to today's Pastor Mike Online. I'd like to get you to know about a man I used to listen to and about a Bible I used to read, but soon found out was not true. It was so not true. You can go to his YouTube channel and you will learn about how he sees as the Aleph as being a bull. Check it out. She mentions Alan Horvath. H-O-R-V-A-T-H. I'm assuming if I click this link, Sandra, it's going to take me to his YouTube channel and not some website that's going to blow my computer up. That was up. Okay. Sandra, I appreciate that. Somebody out there, you might want to go check that out. Alan Horvath on YouTube. Find out what he's doing. All right. Find out what he says. This email here, boy, there's no way I can read that. That's long. Let's get to something short here. Let's see here. John. John, you get it. John says, I believe the bull with the sun between the horns is Baal worship. Am I wrong? Nope. You get it right. Okay, you get the prize, John. You get a free YouTube video download. Free of charge. Compliments of Prophetic Research Ministry. David writes in and says, Pastor Mike, please tell me this is a joke and you're just trying to make us laugh.
People who do that should be arrested.
No way. Who could believe this stuff? Well, Ashley and Chris believed it firm. Well, I don't know if they actually believed it. I seemed like it when this guy, and if Ashley and you and Chris are listening, you can write in anytime, help me out here. I think when he started coming out with this stuff, they started going, no, we don't think this is right. But just I just want you to get the scenario. Here is a man, he's got all these people in his church, and who knows who's watched this video. And he's setting everybody up to worship and follow after the stars, the zodiac, and then telling them that the image of God's power on the church is the image of Baal the calf with the sun god in his horns. That's what he's telling everybody. Why couldn't he just preach on redemption? Why couldn't he preach on faith without works is dead? Why couldn't he preach on the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ as given in the four Gospels? Why couldn't he preach something like that? Why does he have to go into this stuff that's not anywhere in the Bible? Which I've found out, by the way, is becoming all too commonplace. Guys preaching for 40 minutes, 45 minutes every Sunday, every Wednesday night, never mentioning Bible verses. Mike writes in from Taylor, Michigan. Wow, he makes that stuff up as he goes, doesn't he? I'm sorry I had to laugh at that one with the sun being in the horns. I'm so thankful for the book that God gave us and those that still speak the truth. Mike, I appreciate that. Let's see here. What else can I read here? Man, I need some emails here. Let's see here, Jerry. Yeah, here we go. Jerry and Joyce writes, say, Pastor Mike, be thankful you do not live in New York State. Well, I know that's a foregone conclusion. Here in upstate New York, we have an animal rights group now in state appeals court trying to affirm, I read about this, trying to affirm legal personhood for a 26-year-old chimp. They're serious about this. Attorney Stephen Wise in his non-human rights project believes animals with human qualities such as chimps deserve basic rights including freedom from imprisonment. If he succeeds, he will seek personhood for other species with human qualities such as goats, pigs, and Democrats. That's a pretty good one, wasn't it? Which he defines as self-determination and autonomy. Jerry, you can't make this stuff up. This is the world we live in right now. Let's see here. What else? Kathy says there's a new movie out about the NAR, New Apostolic Reformation in Hebrew Roots, called Let the Lion Roar. There's a trailer about that. Let the Lion Roar. That would be interesting. Somebody pull that up and take a look at it. Let's see here. Let's see, Chris, passing back. Have you seen Cleverbot? It's an AI that will have a convincing conversation with you. No, I haven't, but I'm going to click on the website right now, and I'm going to pull that up to look at it later on. Gary Krantz sent me the Ray Bentley leak. Appreciate that. Okay, here we go. Mary writes in and says, thanks for the spam endorsement. I live in Austin, Minnesota, home of Hormel Foods, where Spam is made. Oh, you're awesome! I love Spam. Let me do this. Let me kind of throw at you what I think about Ebola. Now, let me say this. I have found out that articles that you find on Facebook are designed for one purpose only. And that is to sell a lot of advertisements to make money. I'll give you an example. There was an article on Facebook. The title read, Congress takes the next step to award Obama a third term presidency. And I'm going, what? So I clicked it. And I got to this article, I got to this website that had probably no less than 20 advertisements on it. Whatever happened to the good old days of the internet where you clicked a link and all you got was text? And even then, it took a minute and a half to load up. That was the good old days of the internet. That was back in the 90s. Back when we were still using bulletin board services. You guys remember that? No less than 20 advertisements. And you know what the article actually said? Now, the headline was, Congress now takes next step to award Obama a third term. third term as president. The article said nothing about it. The article was about some university professor that said that in his opinion, he felt like it would be a good idea and good for America if Obama was elected to a third term, because then he could finally fulfill some of the programs that he wanted to set forth in America, and that would be good for America. The actual story was about a university professor that wrote some paper that said we should give Obama a third term. Didn't say anything about Congress actually voting on something that would give Obama four more years. But it got you to click it, didn't it? Got me to. It fooled me. Boy, I was mad. I was furious at this. And I'm letting you know now that most of these articles that are Facebook ready from these alternative news sites are designed to get clicks on their web page, because that's how the advertisers pay them. And so it is up to them to get you, as you're reading Facebook or tweeting, for you to get to look at something about Ebola and go, oh, because I'll be honest with you. Ebola is a scary disease. It's scary. Incubation period up to 21 days. You could be infected and not know about it for 2.5-3 weeks. And in that time, how many people have you come in contact with? How many airplane rides have you had? How many buses have you been on? How many ball games did you go to? It's scary. It's a scary disease. The potential for a major outbreak is real. But will it happen? And everybody's got their theory about how Ebola started. It was monkeys. No, it was the United States. It was this and that and the other. I don't know how true these are. But let me show you something from the Word of Fact. In fact, let's cut to it. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's go to, let's see here. Deuteronomy 28. Let's look at verse. Oh, let's see here. Where we can pick it up. Oh, here we go. Let's look at verse 25. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all kingdoms of the earth. And I want you to understand this. This is how God works. This is the nature of God. He gave this as a covenant to Israel. But can it not also be clearly seen that God deals with people and nations this way, especially a nation like the U.S., that in its early history, and I'm talking before the Constitution, before the Declaration of Independence, in its early history, knew itself as a purely Christian nation, a nation that followed the laws of God. I think it's applicable. Look at verse 27. This is the result of not keeping God's statutes. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods of the scab, and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. We mentioned emerods a few weeks ago, dealing with the Philistines in when they stole the Ark of the Covenant. God afflicted them with hemorrhoids in their secret parts. And anybody that's ever had a hemorrhoid, you know what it is. It's this bulge of blood in your private part. It's very painful, and it'll bust, and But I think that there was something more when God afflicted the Philistines with these hemorrhoids. The word hema is the word, I think, Greek word for blood. And a hemorrhoid or an emerod has to do with any kind of bleeding out sickness. And this is what God said in verse 27. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with the emerods, a hemorrhagic illness of some kind, and with the scab and with the edge whereof thou canst not be healed. Bleeding out. That's what Ebola causes. It causes a massive bleeding out. It's not just a killer virus. It's a grotesquely killer virus. It kills in a grotesque, gruesome, macabre, bloody, disgusting fashion, where blood is coming out of the eye sockets and the nose and the mouth and out of every hole and cavity in the body. Blood is coming out of it. It's disgusting. And it's something to be worried about. God said that's what he was going to do. And then I want you to look at verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. And every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And then you go back to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus 26 it's an interesting chapter. God said, verse 14, if you will not hearken unto me and will not do, boy, here it is right here, all you Hebrew roots people, all these commandments, all of them. He didn't just say as many as you could. He said all of them. Those of you who choose to follow after the Torah lifestyle because you believe that it makes God happier with you than if you don't do it, then what you have done is that you have joined yourself under the covenant of Mount Sinai. And the covenant of Mount Sinai said that in order to make God completely happy, you had to do all of the statutes and laws and judgments. And you couldn't leave one of them undone, period. It was all or nothing. God demanded perfection. He demanded perfection from people that he knew was imperfect. This is why he sent his only begotten Son, who was the only one in human history to ever satisfy all of the law. The only one. Everything about his life, he obeyed the Mount Sinai covenant, the law. That's what makes him worthy and us not. But if you think that you can please God by only doing part of what he said, you're wrong. Well, you don't keep the feast, do you? You don't either. Unless you go to Jerusalem every year to do it, 3 times a year. I want to see your plane tickets. Anyway, this is what he said. I hear the music. Listen to what he said. He said, verse 16, I will also do this unto you. I will appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, and that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemy shall eat it. But God said he would bring sicknesses and burning fevers and things that would consume their eyes out of their eye sockets, consumptions, diseases that would just eat them alive. That's what God said was going to happen. Is that Ebola? I don't know. But I'm telling you, we should be afraid. And the reason why we should be afraid as a nation is that we know for a fact we're not even close to keeping God's judgments. And I some people say this is true, and I think, you know what, maybe. Here is our Supreme Court deciding to go ahead and let the law or the judgment stand that says these states that banned sodomite marriage now have to allow sodomite marriage. 30 states out of 50 now have to do sodomite marriages in their states. And now all of a sudden we got Ebola breaking out. Coincidence? I don't know. God said honor his word. We wouldn't have to worry about these things. Good to be with you today. Thanks for listening to me rant and rave. Don't worship the gods. You don't need it. Just think Bible.